Do you still believe God is working behind the scene, even when superficially, outwardly, you see things are going against you? God has something better for you. Amen. You got to believe that. God is positioning you. God is behind the scene. Amen. And you have favor with God. Long before you have a need, God has the provision. God sees beforehand. Can I be good? Amen. You have grace and favor. Amen. And you put your trust in God's grace and favor, you go places. Amen. Doors will open.
In today's message from Joseph Prince, discover how God's amazing grace transforms weaknesses into strength, failures into victories, and doubts into unshakable faith through different characters in the Bible. Have you ever felt broken or alone? Just like Elijah, who faced deep despair, the Lord can meet you at your lowest point and tenderly restore your heart. Are you wondering if your circumstances will ever change? Esther saw how the Lord worked behind the scenes to bring favor and victory in her life. In The People Who Know Their God, discover how God's grace met the men and women of the Bible amid their struggles. And He wants to meet you in your time of need too. This book is available now for a gift of any amount to the ministry. And for a gift of $75 or more, you'll also receive Joseph's teaching series and his book, Unstoppable Faith. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to request your copy today. And now, here's Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
We're going to look at the story of Esther. Are you all ready for Esther? There's one book in the Bible, the name of God doesn't appear. Okay? But the name of God is mentioned in the acrostic. Do you know there are four acrostics of the name Yahweh in the book of Esther? It's hidden. Now, how do you spell Yahweh? Someone says YH. No, in Hebrew, it's going to be Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. But for convenience, we say YHVH. So you look up here. Reading from right to left, I want you to memorize these letters. Very easy, okay, in Hebrew. Yud is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Yud, reading from right to left. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. So this is pronounced Yahweh. And in the book of Esther, the name Yahweh is hidden in acrostic four times. And every time it appears, it is a pivotal point in the story. Her parents died and Mordecai took care of her. Mordecai obviously is a very elderly man and he took care of her. And the time came, chapter 1. All the Indians are going to love this. Chapter 1, verse 1. It came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India. And all the Indians said, amen, to Ethiopia. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the citadel, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces before him. He showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. So finally, after 180 days was over, he has a special party thrown for his special friends in his palace garden for another 7 days. On the seventh day, he invited his queen. He said, go get my queen, because he was so proud of her beauty. And he says, let her put on her crown when she comes. So they went to get her, but she said no. So let's follow the story. Drop down. If it pleased the king, they said, let a royal decree go out from him. Let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes so that it will not be altered. That Vashti shall come no more before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. When the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout all his empire, for it is great, all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. And the reply pleased the king. Now, this is a turning point. Okay, this is a turning point. Look at the phrase, all wives will honor. And look at it in the Hebrew. He vekel hanashim yitnu, which is to give, from Nathan. Okay, look at this. Can you see yud he vav he in reverse? Okay, yud, he, vav, he. It's in reverse. Out of these four acrostic, listen, two are reverse, two are forward. When it's forward, God is ruling directly. When it is reversed, he's overriding, he's overruling. And you see right now, he's overruling, deposing Queen Vashti, preparing the place for Esther, who'll be in a position to help her people. Long before you have a need, long before the devil plans any evil against you, God has the provision. God sees beforehand. Can I have a good amen? And let's follow the story. Okay. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. Even though Esther was beautiful, so were other women also. The way to stand out is always God's favor. Amen. God gives favor. Amen. Amen? Amen? Drop down. Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month. And the king loved Esther more than all the other women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So once again, you have grace and favor. Amen? And you put your trust in God's grace and favor, you go places. Amen. Amen. Doors will open. Don't depend on your smarts. Okay, drop down. Okay, then the king made a great feast called the Feast of Esther. He proclaimed a holiday in the province and gave gifts according to his generosity. Now, the drama intensifies. We come to the next chapter. The next chapter, we have this evil man, Haman. He's from the Amalekites, and the Amalekites hate Israel. And we don't know how he ended up in Persia. He's not a Persian. And yet, he rose to the ranks to become the top vizier to the king. So when he was in this position, he was so proud that one day he passed by the king's gate and Mordecai was there. So Haman wanted him to bow down before him. And by that, Persian means worship. He wanted Mordecai to worship him. When he found out that Mordecai was a Jew, he was even more, you know, more incensed. He was mad. Don't forget, he has a hatred for Jews. So let's look at next chapter. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone. For they had told him of the people of Mordecai, the Jewish people. Instead, look at how evil this man is. Haman sought to destroy all the Jews throughout the kingdom. He's not just wanting to destroy Mordecai, he wants to destroy all the Jews. Can you see that? What happens? Do you still believe God is working behind the scene, even when superficially, outwardly, you see things are going against you? God has something better for you. Amen. You got to believe that. God is positioning you. God is behind the scene. Amen. And you have favor with God. Drop down. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, the Kaspur, which means the Lord. It's like a dice in those days, but they twist the dice. You know, have you seen it before? It's called Pur, where you get the word Purim. Until today, the Jewish people celebrate Purim as the victory over Haman. And how God preserved the Jewish people during the time of Esther. It's the Feast of Esther. And they celebrate every year. It's called Purim, the plural of Pur. Pur is actually the dice or the lot. They twist it around. And you know what they did? Haman did with his men. Say, let's find a day to kill them, and I'll recommend to the king. So they turned the Pur, and the Pur came to the 13th day. Maybe it's from here that the tradition is that 13 is an evil day. But for God's people, an evil day, God's going to turn it to a memorable day. Amen. A day of victory, a day you will celebrate. You're about to see that happen, okay? So it's on the 13th day, and it found, drop down. The king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and it was filled with the king's signet ring, sent to all the provinces. Okay, anymore? Drop down to chapter 3. Okay, and the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. On the what day? 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. Oh, I didn't tell you this. Haman went to the king and said, King, I must tell you this. All right? That there is a group of people in your kingdom. I don't know how to tell you this. But I'm very concerned for you, King. You know my heart is for you, right, King? But this bunch of people, they practice their own laws. They don't care about your laws. And if they continue, they'll spread this message and it will destroy your kingdom. You know, it'll be no profit to you. And the king says, really? What kind of people are these? They're the Jewish people. So I tell you what, right? Allow me and my men to annihilate them for you. And they recommend the very day itself. Okay? And the king used a signet ring. One thing about the law of the Persians, you can even read about it in history, in secular history, is that once the law is made, you cannot change it. Even the king himself cannot change it. So the king used his signet ring. That was his signature in those days on the clay tablet. Yes, the death sentence is made. Women, children, throughout the entire kingdom. Then the next chapter, chapter 4, tells us Mordecai was weeping in sackcloth and ashes, and he heard the decree, and he sent a message. He didn't have access to the palace. And Esther was in the palace. So he sent a message through a messenger to Esther saying, let's follow what he said. If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. When the Lord tells you to do something, He's positioning you. It's a privilege. Because if you don't, relief and enlargement will come from another place. And who is to say whether you came to the kingdom for such a time as this? Amen? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. I always believe there are leaders there, sitting down there, because they don't want to give up something or whatever it is when, you know, they sit down there and they are seeing other people with the kind of blessing that they could have had, with the kind of anointing and calling that they could have had, but they said no to God and that person said yes. And the person got what you are supposed to get. There are some things that God rewards. Something all of us can have by grace through faith. But there are some things He gives you the grace, it can be in vain if you don't use it. But if you use it, He'll reward you for using the grace He first gave you. Amen. That's called reward. All right, drop down. No more dropping. Okay. Now we come to we got only one acoustic so far, right? Now we come to the chapter where we have two acoustics. Turning point. So now it's a desperate situation, amen? So Esther is about to go and see the king. Esther is about to meet up with the king. And she knew another law of the Persian is that if you come to the king's presence uninvited, you die. The king must invite you, or if you come in, the king must extend his scepter to show that he has pleasure with you. So Esther says, hey, you guys, all right, pray for me. If I perish, I perish. So the time came for Esther. Next chapter. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace. All right, and drop down. It says here, it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found what? Favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. Okay, drop down. This is the part, verse 4. So Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I prepared for him. Ladies, this is called timing. She didn't say, save my people. You know, sometimes you gotta learn. Amen. Go through his stomach. Amen. And then, you know, invite, you know, and create a suspense. I mean, it's amazing what she did. And she said, let the king and Haman come. This verse 4 here, let the king and Haman come, is an acrostic. Let's look at it. Yavo Hamelech veHaman Hayom. Yud. Now, this time it's forwards because it's ruling straight away. Yud Hey Vav Hey. Everything got to do with this banquet which you're about to see. Okay? So Haman was so proud. Haman was so happy. He went back and this is what he said to his family and all that. All right? And drop down. At the banquet of wine, the king asked Esther, what is your petition? It shall be done. Okay. Next verse. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. So even at the banquet, she says that I want to have another banquet tomorrow. Creating suspense. the king is saying, tell me what you want. I'll give you half the kingdom. I just want this. This is my request. Please come tomorrow. All right? I have another banquet. And that's the day that changed everything. Drop down. So Haman went out that day, joyful, glad-hearted. Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and he did not stand or tremble before him. He was filled with indignation against Mordecai. And Haman restrained himself and went home and sent and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Drop down. Where are we now? Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which he told us, he boasted to all his friends. This guy got a problem with pride, isn't it? Amen? So pride goes before a fall. It's true. Everything which the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. And he says, besides Queen Esther invited no one but me to come with the king to the banquet. Tomorrow, I'm again invited by her along with the king. All right, drop down. Yet, all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. So the wife said, I recommend build a gallows really, really high, 50 cubits high, 75 feet. You know how crazy is it? And it was built behind his house, you know. You see later on, it's built behind his house because you want to see him hanging. Hang him high. And the thing pleased Haman. Now, verse 13, yet all this avails me nothing is another acrostic. And this time, reverse. Look at this. This avails me nothing from reverse. Yud, hey, vav, hey. He's angry at Mordecai and God is causing the wrath of men to praise him. So that night when the family of Haman is talking about building a 75 feet high gallows to hang Mordecai there, when all this evil scheme was happening in this house, the same night, that night, the king cannot sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. This part I don't understand. Of all the things that you do, right, you might want to hear music or whatever, but he asked for the book of the chronicles. You know how boring it is? Kind of long story short, okay, because of time. It was found that Mordecai actually did the king a favor. Mordecai heard about these two doorkeepers who plotted to kill the king. And he revealed it to someone who revealed it to the authorities and all that, and they seized upon this guy. But Mordecai's name was in the chronicles, but he was never rewarded. The king never knew about it, but for a sleepless night. And the king said this, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? Now he knows his name. And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. At the same time, guess who came that morning, very early in the morning, to recommend the gallows? Haman. He came in. Haman just entered. The king said, who's in the court? Drop down. The king's servant said to him, Haman is there standing in the court. Let him come in. So Haman came in. The king asked him, Haman, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? Right, next verse. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn and a horse on which the king has ridden. In other words, your Porsche or your Lamborghini, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback to the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe, the horse, as you have suggested, do for Mordecai, the Jew. Even the word the Jew is there. Who sits within the king's gate, leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. Hey, when God turns it around, it's turn, my friend. Your day is coming. Your day is coming. So watch this now. Drop down. Haman took the rope and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, led him on horseback to the city square. Remember, he recommended one man shouting. He became the man. and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterwards, Mordecai went back to the king's gate. Haman hurried to his house, mourning with his head covered. Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that happened, and his wife encouraged him like this: if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail. You also fall. Wow, so good advice, huh? You are the one to recommend the gallows. Then verse 14, while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came, hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. Remember that? Now, the turnaround. Let's go to the banquet now. We are coming to the end. The king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. On the second day at the banquet of wine, the king asked, what's your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And she told the king about her people, all that's happened to her people and all that. And Queen Esther says, we have been sold. Now, if I found favor in your sight, you know how she presented the whole thing beautifully, but because of time, I'm going to verse 4. We have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. So this is the first time King Ahasuerus actually realized that Esther was a Jew. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Haman was terrified before the king and queen. All right, the king got so mad, the king arose in his wrath. He went to the palace garden to gather himself, but Haman stood before Queen Esther pleading for his life, and he went to where the queen was and pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. Now, we have the acrostic. Evil was determined. Look at this in the Hebrew. Evil was determined against him. Yud, He, Vav, He. The whole thing came back to his doorstep. Who did it? Who did it? God. At the same time, the king came in, and the king saw Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. The king says, will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house? As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. All his men covered the face. And in those days, cover the face means you'll never see light anymore. Finito. Next verse. Now, Habona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. The king says, hang him. It was in his house. His wife can see, all his relatives can see, the boasting and all that, all those friends of his can see in the backyard, him hanging up there. So they hang Haman on the gallows, and the king's wrath subsided. The very thing, I can tell you stories from history, the very thing the devil meant, God turned it and cut off his head with it. In a book that the name of God is not mentioned, we have God overriding the situation. Now, the question I was asking you all just now is, why didn't God put his name openly, right? It was a period of Lo Ami. Long before they went into captivity, God already said that during that time, if you are in the land of the Gentiles, I will hide my face. Deuteronomy 31, all right, because of time, drop down to hide my face. God says, in that day, I'll hide my face from them. Why? Because they have rejected the Lord. Yet, even then, God's heart is compassionate. He cannot acknowledge them openly in their rebellion, right? But he can actually work behind the scenes in their favor to protect them, to preserve them, to bless them. Amen.
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. Love what you heard today? Joseph Prince's book, The People Who Know Their God, is filled with more powerful stories of ordinary people encountering an extraordinary Savior. Yours today for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Don't wait. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website today to get started. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
The Lord grant you to be at the right place at the right time. Always. And the Lord grant you that no weapon formed against you, even those that you do not know of, and every tongue spoken or that is speaking even right now against you, or any attempt or plan of the enemy of the evil Haman against you, the Lord caused it to fall to the ground and not prosper. But the Lord caused everything that you do to prosper, everything you touch, and may your leaf always be green. And the Lord grant you and bless you with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, that when you open up the scriptures, they will jump out at you. They will talk to you so that you can touch life. You can touch wisdom. You can touch provision. You can touch health, wholeness, and healing for your body. The Lord grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And may all that you do, think, and say, glorify one, Yahweh, Yeshua, Yahweh who saves. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, God bless you. We'll see you again, okay?
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling.
Before we go, I just want to appreciate the people who make this possible. Grace Legacy Builders. It is your generosity and support that allows us to continue sending the gospel of grace all around the world for free. Because of your giving, people are experiencing freedom from years of wrong believing. I want you to know that you have personally made a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you and your family.
You can make a real difference by becoming a Grace Legacy Builder today. Together, we can reach more people with the life-changing gospel of grace. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to get started.
What if there was a better way to navigate some of life's biggest challenges? A way to dig deeper, feel pastored, and find the answers you're looking for in the Word of God. Introducing Grace Academy.
Grace Academy has been on my heart for a long time. If you've ever had questions about how to walk in grace or what it means to live by grace, this is the place where you'll find answers on how to live a life that's anchored on our Lord Jesus.
Featuring brand new content from Joseph Prince, Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you through some of life's toughest moments. Participate in activities that will help you apply the Word of God to your daily life. Discover resources that will help deepen your understanding of the Lord's love and heart for you. Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA. Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.